Welcome to this Red Meat and Wool Growth Program podcast, brought to you by the Department of Primary Industries and Regions, Livestock SA and Animal Health Australia.
After three generations of farmers, the fourth decides to begin trialling a new approach to sheep feeding. Fast forward 20 years, and the fifth generation are now running one of the biggest feedlotting operations in the state. That's the story of the McGorman family, who own Thornby Feedlot in Palmer. However, bringing 70,000 lambs onto your property each year means you need to have a heavy focus on biosecurity. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and to find out more about what producers should consider on-farm prior to the sale of lambs to feedlots, I'm joined in the PIRZA studio by manager of Thornby Feedlot, Alex McGorman. Thanks for your time.
Yep, no worries.
Alex, how long have you been in the feedlot game?
We started about 2000, 2001. We were mainly cropping. We had some sheep here. My father had sheep up in the hills on adjustment. Come January, the hills feed went no good, as it does. So he read a little bit about feedlot and lambs. He brought them back here and we built one little pen, and we were bucketing in there by hand, in there mixing up the bentonite with the barley, doing it all by hand. Might have been a couple hundred sheep and a couple of really old feeders we bought, and started off there.
From small things, big things grow, Alex. How many sheep are you putting through there now?
Last year we did about 70,000, and we've just been a consistent growing. You know, there's some people coming in and out this game pretty quick, big numbers, but we've been doing it for 20 years and only doing a few more thousand each year, sort of thing. Just, yeah, consistent. Doing more as I'm being offered more sheep, because you're in the game longer and you're making more contacts and trying to do the right thing by everybody, and it comes a bit easier in time.
Alex, finishing lambs in feedlots is becoming increasingly popular across South Australia. What do you look for from a producer when purchasing animals for a feedlot?
Well, our ideal lamb has changed a little bit over the years. I think in the last couple of years, my average weight probably used to be 34.5 kilo by in. The last couple of years, it's probably creeped up to closer to 40 kilos. I think that's last year gone, in particular with the season being better, people getting a bit more weight. And generally, I believe farmers are doing a better job with the sheep as time goes on. Breed's not so important around here. The merinos that do an excellent job. You know, we've had every breed under the sun. I do stay away from Dorpers. I do find they're just a bit of a sketchy animal. I've been told by our staff here, don't buy Dorpers because nobody likes working with them. But then you got the new breeds of these Aussie Whites and Ultra Whites coming through, which I've tried a few. They seem to go okay, so they might be getting a lot of popularity, so they might come through a bit better. But there's some breeds that are just not as well suited for pushing out and feedlot weights. Some of these composite ones, we do have troubles with prolapse bows because they're a lot tighter. Basically, the breeds are tight around the back end. So we need, okay, here's something producers out there, tailing lambs to leave a little bit more length on their composite lambs. They're fine on grass. You put them on grain, you get a lot of prolapse bows problems with those. So we just have to be a bit careful not to push them too heavier weights.
Alex, what about key animal health considerations? What do you take into account when purchasing animals to put through your feedlot?
These days, myriad of health things. We've got plenty of farms throughout the state that have foot rot quarantines on them, either benign or virulent. We've got a quarantine over a feedlot in the last year or so because our farmer Kangaroo Island got under quarantine, so I'm able to handle those ones. So those things, and the OJD is another issue that seems to become less issue, but those quarantines are still some things. But generally, health-wise, you got a lamb that's growing well, lice-free, which, got to say, statewide, I think producers are improving because we're not seeing near the amount of lice in feedlot as we used to. For us, sort of the ideal lamb's, you know, 35 to 40 kilos, a lean one with a lot of frame. So all we're doing is finishing them off rather than filling the frame out.
That's a good news story, Alex, in terms of, it sounds like since you started, the health of the sheep are a lot better. But what are some of the animal treatments you've implemented when inducting animals into your feedlot?
When we do our own wormig testing here, we've got the girls, generally have the girls run the feedlot. They have a lot more care for animals than the blokes do. They sort of do the other bits around the place. Wormig counts, we do them on lots to save drenching. We still use Ivermec because that seems to be, for the feedlot situation, we're not the worm burden down enough because they're not reinfecting to get us through quite okay. We were in the past using all sorts of tri-guards and those sort of things, but We give them a 6-in-1 shot. Maybe pulpy kidney is probably the biggest thing that we're really doing that for. And summertime, we're doing AD&E for everything. And that really helps with the pink eye situation. So it's not over the top. And that's their health schedule.
Alex, what are the top three actions that you think producers can either stop doing, start doing, or change what they're doing to improve biosecurity when supplying healthy sheep to feedlots?
Oh, one thing is getting the MVDs right and getting them there, because that's sometimes on the biosecurity, that's a little bit of a problem we have chasing up. You know, they say they'll give it to the agent or that and get the health statements right and just filling out what they've done on there, because we have had in the past treatments that were put on there late or something, or we've even got sheep from meatworks that couldn't kill because of people not filling out the MVDs correctly. But most people are pretty good if on the lice side of things. If I'm buying them privately or like through an agent, and they often let me know they may have a lice problem, which is fine. It's not a big problem to me because most things get shorn here. Yeah, and the feet situation, that, you know, if they're coming from a property with any sort of foot issues, that they're right there. And, you know, I've had it just recently from a property that, well, I actually loaded the sheep myself. We didn't think there was a problem. 2 days later, I got them in there shearing, and I'd have let them know, geez, I reckon you might have a problem here. We didn't know we were picked up. So we have a foot bath set up here for treatment if needed.
Alex, where would you direct listeners to find out more information or support about these sorts of things?
There's a feedlotting code of practice, which we were involved in setting up many years ago, because when we set up our feedlot, there was no rules and regulations. I work in cattle ones going back a long time ago. I do a lot of Googling. I reckon anything to do with lamb feedlotting in Australia for the last 10 years, wherever I've read sort of thing. So you can Google anything and you'll get the answer.
Alex, what do you think producers can be doing to improve in terms of preparing lambs for delivery for feedlots?
I think a big thing is to prep them right for their tracking, that they often feedlots by weight. So, you know, producer wants to keep their weight up. As a feedlot, I'm happy to pay for all the weight. I don't need every last bit of moisture drained out of them and put it back in them, because that's going to knock them back further. So we want to keep them going well. I think it's best to leave them on the hay all the time. They need to be off water for 24 hours if they're going for a long trip. And that's especially true, like when we buy a lot of sheep from Kangaroo Island with the ferry. You obviously can't have water running around. A bit of dry poop, though, is no problem. And that'll keep the sheep in a lot better conditions. If you've got yards or got a shed to put the sheep in the night before and there's rain around, put them in the shed. I've been out just recently to a very large place where there was a massive shed right next to them, but they left the sheep out there in probably an inch of rain the night before because nobody thought, well, maybe I should do that, because they just said, oh, well, the sheep are sold. Taking care of the sheep till they leave the property. Looking after sheep, how you'd want to be looked after. There's still a lot of work to be done, I think, with people's attitudes to sheep, how they are looked after out there.
Alex McGorman, manager at Thornbury Feedlot, thanks for joining me in the Persa studio.
No worries at all. Thanks for your time.
To find out more information or get support in implementing better biosecurity within your business, contact your local animal health advisor from the Department of Primary Industries and Regions or the South Australian Livestock Biosecurity Extension team through the Livestock SA office. The Red Meat and Wool Growth Program is an initiative of the Government of South Australia and supported by Meat and Livestock Australia, SA Sheep and Cattle Industry Funds and Sheep Connect SA.